When we begin to enter the golden years, sometimes our self-esteem gets challenged. Whether in the workplace, at church, or home, our purpose in life is shifting. Some feel tested, others feel threatened. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Titus chapter 2. In this passage, the Apostle Paul delivers a bold message to seniors with the added implications that young people are watching. So how do we handle this season of our lives? Chuck titled today's message, Older Men and Women, Listen Up. And we begin with prayer.
How can it be, our Father, that your Son would die for me or for any of us? For a good man, some would dare to die, but Christ proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Our focus is on him for these moments. Thank you that our friends take him, the Savior, with them as they travel abroad. Thank you that nothing of Christ is lost by having given himself to them, as he is just as much with us. With those laid aside by illness, as he is also with those who were wayward and running as fast as they can in the wrong direction. Thank you for our Savior's faithfulness in caring for us and for the prodigal with the same kind of love. What a beautiful Savior, Lord of creation, Son of God, and Son of man. It's to him we recommit ourselves and to the work of ministry that we give our gifts gratefully, generously, joyfully. In his marvelous name we pray, we give. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Did you know about the spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies? To dig deeper into the New Testament letter of Titus, purchase a printed Bible study workbook today by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now, the message from Chuck called Older Men and Women, Listen Up.
As I read over these first 10 verses of the second chapter of Titus, I pull out my pen and I underscore six categories that Paul singles out in these verses. Don't know if you caught them in your reading earlier, but let me do that with you. In verse 1, he says to Titus, you, those who are publicly and prominently known as teachers of the truth, those who preach, those who lead Bible studies, all of those of you who proclaim the truth, you. When you get to verse 2, he changes that to older men. Older men are to live this way because you're being watched. Verse 3, he comes to older women. Down into verse 4, where he introduces young women. You're being watched, young woman. You're being watched, older lady. We're being watched. He gets to young men when he gets to verse 6, and he says, likewise. Sort of the link that ties them together in a chain of thought. Likewise, young men are to live like this. And then even verse 9, urge the slaves, those who can't even operate as free men and women, urge them to live the life. They're being watched. It makes a difference. So let's look at the three we have the time for today who are initially identified in the section we're looking at. First, there's strong advice for Titus. And as I said earlier, for those of us who teach in whatever may be our capacity. There were false teachers abounding on the island of Crete. There were those who were rebellious, those who were teaching myths, those who were deceptive, and they were confusing families and they were hurting the cause of Christ. when he gets to chapter 2, he says, but, not like them, but you, who carries the truth behind your lips, you who communicate God's truth, you speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Let's study that for just a few moments. Let's sort of take it apart. I don't find the word preach in there. I don't even find it implied. This is to people who speak truth. Let your words be wholesome, healthy, and health-giving. And the word doctrine really is the word for teaching. Whenever you teach, may it be a healthy word of help and encouragement. People not only watch those of us who teach, they take notes on our lives. They remember, they form opinions. They even emulate and quote us. They see us as models. Few positions are more on display than God's servants who proclaim his truth. We are being watched. And then he moves to another category of older men. We often think of those who are older as always being wiser, more mature, stronger in faith. Let me add, that's not necessarily so. We older men can resist change and we can become critical, complaining, negative, even lazy. That need not occur. That need not be our modus operandi. We, as we grow older, can remain flexible and effective and even enjoyable to be around. Verse 2, older men, he gives us 6 guidelines. First, we're to be temperate. Temperate. It means we avoid extravagance and overindulgence in any area. Suggests the idea of keeping things within balance and within limits. Specifically refers to being free of intoxication. So, first of all, we guard against any addiction, including pornography, including reliance on or over-reliance on medication. You may need medicine, but the whole point is you keep it within reason. You're temperate. Second is the word dignified. Sounds sort of snooty, but it doesn't convey that idea at all in the original. The idea is to be worthy of honor and others' respect. In fact, negatively, it refers to not being frivolous, trivial, tedious, or superficial. I pause and let those thoughts sink in. We men can be very tedious. We really can. I notice my tendency toward that as I get older. I notice that I like telling the same stories. They're good for one time. I figure they're good for 20 times. The problem, the same person doesn't want to hear them 20 times. So as we get older, let's put some limits on our tendency to be tedious and trivial and superficial. The third word is one of my favorite words in all the New Testament. Finally, we get to it. Sensible. We're to be sensible. The word means having good judgment, discerning, having common sense. An older man who has common sense knows when he's wearing his welcome out. He knows when he's staying too long. He knows when he's saying too much. He knows when he gets to be a drag on his family. You may have lost your mate, and you may be alone today and find great joy in spending time with your family. That's great. There's everything right about that. Just be discerning. Use your head. Be sensible. They can't tell you these things, so they've asked me to convey them to you today, and it may help in some cases. Don't be hard to be around. What a great pleasure it is for those of us who are older to know that our grandkids and our children still like to be around us. It doesn't just happen. It happens because we work at staying flexible, sensible, temperate. The first three in the category represent what I would call respectability. The last three, appearing at the end of verse 2, fall in the category of maturity. So under the category of maturity, we are told to be sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Same word sound as in sound doctrine up at verse 1. Remember our term? Hygiene. Good health. Wholesome. We are to have a wholesome faith. We've walked with the Lord long enough to know that He's trustworthy. And in the excitement of our trust, we can really help the younger to know they can trust God too. We've seen Him work in situations that are just mind-boggling. And the joy of growing older with those who've not been there is to convey our stories, to tell them how valuable it is to trust God. Sensible in our love, or the word really is sound in our love. Careful with the use of affection. Not doing something inappropriate with a younger woman. Being careful where you put your hands. Being healthy in your mindset. Few things are more embarrassing for a young woman than to have an older man who doesn't know how to behave. There are a lot of them running around. If you want to be respected, be sound in your love. That love, by the way, is agape love, so it's doing for others what is for their highest good. You don't wait for love in return. You show it even though it isn't reciprocated. And sound in perseverance. Another of my favorite words. This is a word for holding up under the load, under the pressure. As we get older, we can become full of fears. And those fears can be shed or shared indiscriminately with those nearest us. Let's not go there. Let's be sound in our perseverance. Let's be able to handle the load on our own with our Lord. Don't expect your family to take care of the load for you until you are simply physically unable or mentally unable to handle it yourself. Wouldn't it be wonderful to revere and trust a man like this? Of course it would. There are a number of you hearing me now who are in this category. And my word to you is stay at it. Keep being like you are. You are invaluable to the church of Jesus Christ. You are being watched. And you are a wonderful advertisement on how to grow older. Challenge those around you with your fresh thoughts and your kind words and your very carefully chosen expressions of love, perseverance. Now, we enter the world of diplomacy, older women. That means if you are older, over 97, you would be an older woman. I wish, so do you. So we're probably safe to assume that Paul has in mind a woman who is 60 or above. Why do I say that? Listen closely. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 9, Paul is describing widows who are in dire need for the church to help them with food and clothing and shelter. He says they qualify if they are 60 years old and older, using the same word for older. And it is also used with reference to a woman who has gotten beyond the age of child bearing and rearing. Probably the age of 45 or 50 or so would be beyond the age of child bearing, though there are some exceptions, maybe I should say surprises. And then the child rearing years would be 65, perhaps. You're beyond that at that point. So we're in the 60s. And we have reference to a woman who has reared her family, if she has in fact been married and had children, and she's now living her life as an older woman. Now, ladies, this is for you. You are likewise, don't go too quickly over that. Just as I was strong and firm in my words to older men, likewise, I want to say this to you who are getting up in years, who are ladies, you who are women. You are likewise to be reverent in your behavior. The point is, you point others to the things of God. You are a representative of His Son. You model His message. And you're never too old for that. It's beautiful. You are authentically godly. The most godly kind of lifestyle comes out of authentic people who love Christ. And that's a beauty that is beyond description. Now, he adds here for older women that you not be malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine. Both of these moral failures you are to diligently avoid. Please guard your lips. You who are gossips don't realize the damage you do. And I say to you from a pastor's heart who often has to be engaged in patching up the offense you create, that your lips do damage to the body when you run loose with what you say. People who know you can't keep confidence will learn not to talk with you confidentially. How wonderful it is to find confidentiality. I find purity easier than I find confidentiality, quite frankly. And if it took this reproof for you to hear it today, good. May from now on you be known as one who guards your lips from saying things about others that are demeaning and slanderous and hurtful and hateful. Just remember, you don't model it either. You don't model perfection either. So give everybody else a break. Pay attention to yourself and stay away from addictions in your own life. And he says to be faithful in your teaching, teaching what is good. Not only do you teach your children, you teach other women what is good. It is virtually impossible for me to overstate the value of a godly older woman. It's almost impossible to overstate it. Even though a younger woman may not come to you or clamor for your attention, she watches you. She learns from you. She really does long to hear how you do it, how you were able to handle that grief, that loss, that burden, that blast that came in your earlier years. How did you season to be such a winsome and contagious type older lady? I can tell you of the invaluable ministry of older women because our family has enjoyed their presence on occasion. When we moved in 1971 from the Texas area out to Southern California, our children were all small. Our youngest was 1 year old and our oldest was 9. On top of that, we left their grandparents. And so they had no older men and women around them. And we talked about that. It was a loss not having them near our parents. I would love for them to have known Cynthia's mother better than they ever knew her. I would love for them to have known who my mother and my dad really were. So we had a wonderful woman come along whose name was Erna Holmer. It's a name you've never heard of and will never make the lights. But she became the surrogate grandparents for our family. And our kids called her Mormor. She was Swedish, and it means mother's mother. So she was our kids' Mormor. And Mormor would take them places that grandparents take kids, and she'd do things that grandmothers do with kids. Some of them were really risky. I remember saying to Cynthia, man, can we trust them with Mormor? She's kind of wild. And the kids loved being around Mormor. But you know what else? You know what else was great? When she would bring them back, she would pull Cynthia aside and say, what a great job you're doing with these kids. How wonderful it is to be around them. You have any idea how encouraging that is to a young mother? And Cynthia Times would let her hair down and talk to Erna about something that was really on her heart. Never once knew Erna to gossip. Never once knew Erna to take the secrets of our family and run wild with them, use them against us. Never once knew Erna to be discouraging, ever. I mean, she was like a fresh drink of water on a hot day. And she just knew when to be there and when to take them, you know, on a trip or to spend half a day with them. She was an older woman who became for us a point of encouragement. See how the verb changes from teaching to encourage? Verse 3 ends with teaching what is good, and verse 4 begins so that you may encourage the younger woman. There's a reason for the change. This word encourage has sensibility in its heart. It's the same root term, sophronizo. Sophron is the other. This is the same root word. She does that which is sensible with younger women. Older ladies, don't push yourself off on someone else. Don't clamor for a place in their life, but be available. Be willing to talk, mainly to listen, most of all to encourage. And talk about being watched. There are rewards in heaven for Erna Holmer that you wouldn't believe for her investment in our lives. Now, for all of us who live today, let me say a couple of things and then we're through. First is about age and maturity. The other is about modeling and mentoring. Age mixed with maturity provides a credibility that cannot be ignored. When you are older and you are mature, you have credibility. You don't even have to ask for it. You don't have to carry a resume. You don't have to talk about it. We can tell. We can tell when we're around those who are older and mature. You have credibility. It can't be ignored. Second, modeling and mentoring cultivate an integrity that won't be forgotten. It won't be overlooked, and it won't be forgotten. As I look back over my life and I think of the older men, all of whom who touched my life, those I call mentors, I will tell you that I can to this day quote lines that they even said offhand. They weren't like instructing me. I just remember their words. Better than that, I remember their model. Whew, this is convicting stuff, but it's true. I'd like you to bow your heads, please, and sort of block out all the other things that have been on your mind. And remember that these elements are for those who know the Lord Jesus and are walking with Him. Doesn't matter what your level of maturity is. Doesn't matter how many times you failed Him. Just know that you have Christ in your heart and you're walking as best you know in the light, as He is in the light. Our model is Christ. He's our example. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, for leaving us these symbols and for reminding us somewhat regularly of the Savior's death on our behalf. He never lived to be an old man. His life was gone from this earth before he ever reached 35. But what a model he left for us. No one has the impact that he has when he invites us to do as he has done to us. Today we revere him and we honor him and we remember his death on our behalf. Remind us again, our Father, in this self-serving age, the value of submitting ourselves to one who once submitted himself to you. Teach us the value of great character, of an obedient lifestyle, a submissive will, a winsome way, and a life that is filled with forgiveness. In His name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and this is message number 5 in an 11-part study through the brief New Testament letter of Titus. Chuck Swindoll titled this series, Tough Grace in Difficult Places. Let me give you a quick preview of the practical messages coming up. In the coming weeks, Chuck will present an instructional sermon called The Tough Side of Ministry. This is for pastors and those in church leadership, or anyone who loves the church. And later this month, he'll present a highly practical message called Making Your Testimony Slam Dunk Convincing. And another one that's founded on tough love. Chuck calls this one When Doing What's Hard is Best. These are all coming up on Insight for Living. Of course, if you prefer to listen ahead, you can find all 11 sermons for Titus preloaded into our convenient mobile app. And you can also purchase all 11 studies on CD. Just ask for the series called Tough Grace in Difficult Places when you call us at 800-772-8888. And then we're pleased to offer you a brand new booklet from Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll. It's called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. Families, churches, marriages are all prone to fractured relationships. In this booklet, Chuck describes the biblical path for asking and offering forgiveness. And Cynthia tells a highly transparent personal story when forgiveness healed a broken relationship in her family. Again, the booklet is called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. And you're invited to request a copy right now when your request includes a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Here's the address to write to us. It's Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Remember, when you give to Insight for Living, you're making it possible for countless others to benefit from the Bible teaching that you've come to rely on. Thanks so much for reaching out today by calling us at 800-772-8888 or online, go to insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Tough Grace in Difficult Places, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Older Men and Women, Listen Up, was copyrighted in 2006, 2007, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.